You are tuned directly to David Lee Roth. How about Little Fire Scarecrow?
Roth Radio, beaming up into the night skies first thing in the morning. New York, Philly, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, and the entire known galaxy. I have a very special guest here, a very special gentleman. His name is Mike Luckman, Michael Luckman. Mike, how are you this afternoon?
I'm real good, David.
Welcome, welcome. Make yourself at home.
Thank
we
you.
Did. Hold on the guitar there one time, because Mike has a very interesting tale to tell. He's the author of Alien Rock, The Rock and Roll Extraterrestrial Connection. He's the director of the New York Center for Extraterrestrial Research and founder of the Cosmic Majority. I've always felt like I was a member of that. An organization that seeks to advance the views of the majority of people living on planet Earth who believe in UFOs, life on Mars, and other planets throughout the universe. Mike, how are you today?
I'm real good, David.
Where do we start with something like this? How did you get involved in this kind of a research? What prompted you to start
this? Well, in 1971, I taught the nation's first college-level course in rock and roll.
Oh, that's extraterrestrial,
yeah,
but go ahead and make the conceptual
leap. Well, at the New School for Social Research in New York. And then after that, shortly thereafter, I became involved with the UFO subject, just gradually, slowly. I came out of science fiction and general interest that people have in the subject, and then slowly I became more and more interested. This is a subject that once you get involved with it, it pulls you in like emotional quicksand.
Okay, and as far as emotional quicksand, did something cause that to start for you? Did you have an experience personally?
I did not have an experience at that time, but I must tell you, I was listening to you a little bit earlier. I have had a contact experience.
Let's hear about that.
One that I consider very serious.
Let's hear about that.
I'm planning a series of concerts called the Signal of Space Concerts.
How did I know that?
Well, you must have read my book.
I know nothing about extraterrestrial, but I know showbiz. Go ahead.
Yes, and we're planning to beam live music for the first time the solar system.
How do you choose what music that you're going to beam into the solar system?
Well, we're going to have everything. We're going to have all kinds of music. We're going to have rock and roll. We're going to have pop. We're going to have rap. The whole spectrum.
Do you think it's safe to beam hip hop up there?
We'll try.
Okay.
We'll try. But, you know, UFOs have been seen at rock concerts. It's one of the things that led me into the idea of doing this series of concerts. But I was talking to a friend about 2 years ago. I'm sitting in my bedroom. I'm talking to somebody, and there are two lights in the bedroom. One has three light fixtures, and the other has a single bulb.
And when the single bulb goes off, you're done and you pay. And
the bulb was on, but the other three lights started to go. They're on a dimmer. All of them are hooked into a dimmer, so there's no way that the one lamp can stay neutral and the other ones can go up and down.
Like the electricity is oscillating.
Exactly. That continued to happen for a period of 5 minutes. And when I stopped talking about the Signal of Space concerts and my belief that they were going to happen, then it stopped.
Okay, now then there's the story when somebody told me, Dave, how long can you get to the edge of the property that you live on in your car? He says, I can jump in my car and drive all day. You know, I can drive for 10 hours and not get to the edge of my property and the land that I live on. I said, yeah, I used to own a car like that.
Right.
You're talking about an apartment where the lights started to dim and whatever. That's the Lower East Side. You believe that that's extraterrestrial then?
Oh, I absolutely do.
Okay.
This has never happened before. And let me tell you something. A friend of mine said, well, what about any other light effects that you've had? And I said, well, come on. This is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing to happen. And then the next night, for sure, in the living room, all the lights went crazy. Crazy. Individually going on and off and all with no pattern. Just totally random.
Dude. No, really. What neighborhood is this? Is this a proper neighborhood or is this downtown?
Well, it's downtown.
Of course.
We have to rule out downtown.
There you go. No, because, you know, the natural person would say to you, well, that's an electrical issue. No? And you maintain
never
that?
Never had it. I've lived there 25 years. That's never happened.
And it's because of the subject matter you were discussing.
I absolutely believe that.
What is the connection between rock and rollers and extraterrestrial? That's the basis of your book, right?
Yes, it is. And the opening chapter is about Elvis Presley. And it all starts then. When Elvis was born, there was a strange blue light, according to his father, Vernon Presley, that was over the cabin in the middle of nowhere in Tupelo, Mississippi, at the moment he was born. From there on in, at the age of about 6 or 7, he was communicated to by beings of light This, according to Wanda June Hill, who was a great fan of his and a close friend of his, one of the last people to speak to him.
Okay. Did she was a great fan of his first or a great friend later?
No, she became a fan once when he was an adult, but she interviewed him and had a series of telephone conversations with him, which were taped. And this is all substantiated.
And he maintained that beams of light educated him and gave him his musical strength, or that...
He called them forms of light, which is interesting because Sammy Hagar, whom you mentioned, also talked about when he was pressed by me that it was forms of light. Energy, if you will.
And I'm going to read from the book here. It says, when I was about 18 or 19, they downloaded everything that was in my head. Judging by his current lyrics, I would believe that. However, it says, when he awakened at around 3 a.m., my whole room was so bright that I could hardly keep my eyes open. Blah, blah, blah. He was about how old there, Mike, when this
He was about 19 years old. That was in Fontana, California.
And you understand that his father was an alcoholic, and this is a public note. This is no secret here. His father was a despondent boxer, hadn't really gotten to any kind of position in life there. And up until recently, we used to call it Fontucky. Now it's expanded into something that is a lot more colorful, a lot more interesting, and a whole lot of people speaking Spanish there. The full face of that town has changed. But Sam's father died on a park bench. Froze to death, if I'm not mistaken, and this is by Sam's own word, at approximately that same time period in his life, within that 2 years prior to that experience. You see any connection?
I think there are too many. If you're asking me specifically about Sammy Hagar, I can't answer that question.
Are you familiar with connections like that? That if something dramatic happens in somebody's life, that they probably can possibly transfer or try to sublimate that, maybe to create something that happens to him to drive that memory out of their head? This is a logical argument. Can you speak to that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I can speak to it, but I don't think that that's the case. I can't say specifically in Sammy's instance, but I can say in general that I've interviewed too many people, not only rock stars and musicians, but people across the board in different areas. And I absolutely do not think that a lot of people, for example, would write off these things to, you know, too much alcohol, too many drugs. I speak head-on to the issue, particularly of drugs, because I know that rock stars, the first thing people are going to say is, well, they're doing drugs. Well, yeah, a lot of rock stars do drugs, but just because somebody might have a joint or somebody might have a drink or two, I don't think that you can write them off as an eyewitness to
an event. But you can wipe the audience off as being a little more pliable and a little more receptive to some really good storytelling, which is what rock stars do for a living. And if we're not going hoodoo voodoo like gothic style, some people will tell you, I'm from outer space, Mike. I would totally expect Jimi Hendrix to say that. Eddie Van Halen doesn't even have to say it. You can already tell. Somebody is doing storytelling. That's an idea. You don't think it's storytelling?
You always have the thing of storytelling. I mean, that's always in the background, always lurking in the background as a possible explanation. However, I don't think that that's the key explanation. I really think these are real events, and people aren't imagining them, and they're not embroidering these stories, that these are real things that are happening.
Please share with us the top two or three that are the most convincing to you, or perhaps the most convincing to the Roth Radio wrecking crew here. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, you know, in the case of Elvis, it wasn't just the case of a blue light or some kind of a blue light that was seen over his home at the point when he was born. And it wasn't only the fact that he had contact with some beings of light at the age of maybe seven, who showed him, by the way, like what amounts to a motion picture of how his life would be like in the future.
This comes to
on stage.
Mike, this comes to you second voicing from somebody who spoke to him. You didn't actually speak to him, or did he write about this?
Who interviewed him? I have lots of direct quotes from Elvis. He actually believed
direct
that
quotes from Elvis that were supplied to you by another person?
Oh, well, I didn't speak to Elvis.
Okay, well, I guess that's my point.
Yes, well, that's what journalists do, though.
The truth always arrives at your front door mixed with the emotions of the person who brought it to you a little bit. Your ears are only the side door for truth. You follow?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if a fan isn't going to embroider, whereas Elvis may not have. Is there ever a story a rock star told you that you didn't believe?
No.
Okay. I'm calibrating. No, I'm learning as we go here.
There isn't. But let me say this. I've been investigating UFOs for about 25 years. First of all, I must tell you that the question of whether UFOs are real or not, whether they're extraterrestrial in nature, here we've got, at this point, most people aren't aware of this. There are over 100 eyewitnesses. There are 100 witnesses who worked in the Pentagon in the 60s and 70s. I have copies of videotaped depositions that these gentlemen gave, in which they talk about their knowledge of Roswell, New Mexico, the crash that happened there in 1947. They talk about their knowledge of a cover-up on the part of the government.
What about current times, Mike? Is there anything that's happened within the last, let's say, five summers that is of relevance to what you're proposing, that has occurred to somebody we might recognize, a name?
Well, I mean, there are hundreds of UFO sightings at literally every single week.
Okay.
All over the United States.
But the basis of your book is the connection with rock and roll, with musicians?
It is, absolutely, yes.
And in the last 5 years or so, give or take, has there been a number of sightings, and who might that be have been...
Well, my book concentrates more on the founders of rock and roll. It includes all of it goes right up to the moment, but it concentrates on the founders, the icons, if you will, of rock and roll. So therefore, I'm concentrating on Hendrix and Bowie and people like that.
It's interesting. Why would you pick that time period specifically? Is there a particular... Is that just your favorite time, or just nothing has been happening in the last few years?
No, there are always things happening. For example,
while you're thinking...
Richie Havens has had all kinds of UFO experiences.
Okay, well, these are a generation that, it's a separate generation. And I'm talking about maybe something that happened in the last 5 or 10 years
right. That
involves individuals that we're familiar with, because the folks that you're describing are all coming from the party years. All right. We all know, because I was part of it in the 60s and the 70s, that there was a whole lot of carrying on there, whether it was not just drugs, but there was the mysticism, everything from the new spirituality, et cetera, et cetera. You yourself, though, you have a showbiz background, if I may. Luckman's Freewheeling Underground Tonight Show, live on cable TV in New York City, paved the way for television programs like Saturday Night Live. You had good guests, too. His guests included the Beatles' first manager, Alan Williams, and singers Tiny Tim, Phil Oakes, Screamin' Jay Hawkins. This sounds like pop music. This sounds like you have a little bit of a hand in showbiz. What is the concert that's coming up where you're going to beam music? When does that happen?
Oh, well, that would start in the summer of 2007 at this point.
Are you already selling tickets to this?
No, we're not, because we're raising money. It's going to cost a huge amount of money. These concerts are going to happen in Berlin, New York, and in Tokyo.
Why did you pick those cities?
Well, some of the financing is probably going to be coming from Germany.
So this doesn't have anything to do with pivotal points on the Earth that triangulate?
Not at all. What it has to do is that we're going to beam up music using actually probably a satellite, one of the world's largest in the Ukraine.
Why the Ukraine?
Well, because it happens to have one of the largest satellites in the world that we can access and use.
Oh, they'll let you use it?
You buy a time on it.
I understand.
Yeah.
Where in the Ukraine? That's an awful long ride.
It's a long ride. Yeah, I don't recall the city. Yeah, it's a very long ride.
Well, the merchandise is going to be knockout. I want the T-shirt. Nick, you got any thoughts about what's going on here? Robin?
You know, I find it interesting. You know, one of the things I've read about, and, you know, I keep an open mind about all such things. I really, you know, there's a part of all of us that I think sort of wishfully thinks, wouldn't it be neat if there were extraterrestrials and all the scenarios that could play out? But, you know, I remember hearing a correlation between these sort of abduction stories on a psychological level and the period of time where there was a real explosion in people remembering buried childhood traumas, abuses, rapes, and that there was some correlation between the two, that it's a way for people to, and a fair amount of some, when that was all the rage and everybody had been molested, everybody on Earth, a lot of them ended up being debunked. So there seemed to be sort of a psychological connection to certain traumas. It's what you were alluding to, Dave.
Certainly.
With the Hagar thing, you
certainly.
Know, with when and dad and how with the dad.
A terrible tragedy or something awful happens, and people create a fantasy. People create something that'll drive it from their head, or at least create some sort of a creature or an experience that is accountable for the loss of that memory. And you disagree with that totally.
Have you explored that at all?
I haven't personally, but there are abduction researchers who specialize in this sort of thing. I mean, I've met in the New York metropolitan area maybe several dozen at this point abductees, and there are lots of them. There are, in New York alone, I would say hundreds of people,
especially down around Ludlow and Rivington.
but I'm convinced that these people have had genuine experiences, and you know, you may find sure in a specific instance, maybe one or two instances where somebody's had that kind of a mental problem.
Transference.
Exactly.
Why is there always sex probes involved? Serious. Every time you hear about somebody getting kidnapped, they got sex experiments performed on them. And
you'd have to ask the aliens that. But let me propose something. let me propose that we do this.
Hey,
can an alien relax?
Okay. Let me propose that we do something, because you guys, obviously, there's a slight amount of skepticism.
There's
I'm
a
detecting,
slight, but
and that's cool. I encounter that all the time.
I am prepared to hear your story, okay. And as you can see, we're not interrupting. Go ahead.
What I suggest we do, what would be a very interesting experiment, is this. The radio goes out on the airwaves. Your show goes out on the airwaves. Why don't we use this moment right now to try to beam a message to extraterrestrials, for those who believe that extraterrestrials are real, to try to send out a signal, if you will, to extraterrestrials, and let them, the extraterrestrials, make some kind of a contact. Maybe the studio lights are going to start to go on and off. Maybe there's going to be some sound, or maybe UFOs are going to fly over the city tonight.
If we all take
the next few minutes to try to put this kind of a message, that if there are extraterrestrials out there, that we want to make contact with them, then this would be truly extraterrestrial radio.
Okay, so how do we do this? Do we all go like, or do we hum this, or do we just sit silently?
Well, different people can do it different ways. I mean, basically, the most important thing is to beam out a very, very strong positive message to extraterrestrials. These beings might be 100,000 times more intelligent than us, according to science.
If they're 100,000 times, if they're even 100 times more intelligent than us, why would they have anything to do with this planet?
Right on.
Again, can't answer for the extraterrestrials, but I got to tell you, they're out there. I mean, I've got footage that would dazzle you NASA.
And I want to hear about them. I think they're maybe a little closer than we think sometimes. I want to hear your thoughts on that. Roth Radio, don't go away. Beat me up. Good morning, Toto. Streaking across the night sky, illuminating the cultural universe, Roth Radio. Beam me up, Scott. Hey, that sounds good. He's playing that live on the guitar right now. Maybe he's an alien. David Lee Roth here. I'm talking to Michael Lechman. He's our guest today. He's the author of Alien Rock, the Rock and Roll Extraterrestrial Connection. Mike, good to have you here today.
Good to be here.
Okay. We started to share some of the thoughts about sex experiments, and that's a legitimate thing, because most of the people who discuss being transported or kidnapped or abducted or whatever by aliens include that as well. You got a reflection on that?
It's not necessarily sex. In fact, they talk about it in terms of genetic type of experiments and things like that. I mean, it may involve, and it does involve, sex organs, but it's not contact, although there are a few people who claim to have had contact where there's actually a sexual experience with an alien. But 99% of the instances we're really dealing with
barroom.
We're dealing with things that are more along the lines of DNA type of experiments.
Okay, because, you know, usually I would imagine it's barroom humor. I went home with a 10 and I woke up with an alien, right?
Yeah, right.
Or it's not if the alien wants to have sex with you, it's if the alien wants to have sex with you again.
Oh, right. That's a way of calibrating, isn't it? Joe, he wants to talk to us. He's had a UFO sighting. Joe, are you there? Number nine. Beam him in. Are you there, Joe?
Yeah, Dave, I'm here.
Do you have a thought or a comment to share with Michael here? He's the author of the book. Go ahead, you're on.
Yeah, Dave, welcome to the airwaves. Dave, I did actually see UFOs one time, me and a couple of friends of mine, and I think anybody that doesn't believe that there's other life forms, I think is ignorant, because there are. I mean, we can't be alone.
I'm going to agree with you on that. I don't know that there has been specific sightings in the rock and roll community, because I know that we're kind of a bunch of storytellers, but I'm going to agree with you, and I'm going to agree with two-thirds of what Michael is saying here, and that they exist. Have you had actual experience? Have you ever been abducted?
No, I've never been abducted.
Have you ever known anybody who has?
No, but I like I said, I have sighted them myself and a few other people, but I don't know anybody who's actually been abducted by them.
Okay, and what did you see? Describe to us what you saw.
We were driving one night, heading for the diner, and it was pretty late. And I was riding a couple of friends of mine, and we happened to look up and saw a bright light, and it was moving really, really slow. And as we got to the diner, we just sat there and watched it. And then about five other lights came. They shaped a V in the sky. It was a real bright flash, and they were gone.
Okay, let me speak to that here. Michael, you're familiar with the laser experiments that the government performs, you know, working with airplanes and so forth. That's
yes.
The word of the day. Whether it's for defense munitions or whether it's for global positioning or what have you. Our skies are crisscrossed with lasers and so forth that we can't even see with the naked eye, even as we speak. Is this a reasonable reflection, or do you deny that?
Well, again, I mean, the lasers might here and there be an explanation for it, but no, in the main, I mean, this, you know, there are at this point over 100,000 formerly top secret documents, all official documents. And I can show you documents going all the way back to early 1950s, late 40s, in which the government says, the Air Force says, that these are real objects, that our planes can't possibly keep up with them, and that they're extraterrestrial in origin.
How does this tie into the Bermuda Triangle? What is the Bermuda Triangle as you know it? What is that a landing site or a launch site or what?
Well,
no one
really knows what the Bermuda Triangle is. I mean, there have been planes that have disappeared and stuff, but whether it's connected with UFOs remains to be seen.
Okay, Bermuda Triangle, Sony, number six, you're on Roth Radio. Beam up, you're here. Go ahead.
David and all your crew, great show. But hold on, I was just going to talk about Bermuda Triangle.
Please, I bet
and
you got a great one.
How many rock stars traveled in that area and got lost?
I haven't heard of one.
I haven't heard of one, no.
Well, and then I have another explanation. I believe Dave's crew, Animal, he said something about those animals being beheaded. But did you know that also in South America, there is some sort of thing going around and something, whatever, whatever. So I don't know what's going on. Is this extraterrestrial or what?
The chupacabra? Is that the...
Pardon? Who pronounced that? Who pronounced that?
What do you... Well, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, that's the correct word, yeah.
Answer to that.
All these things have invaded the United States, and we should all be careful. Is
that the
true?
Chupacabra has invaded the United States?
They're coming in from the Mexican border.
Never pronounced it correctly, yeah.
And they're working for CIA.
Yes, and I think we're all being invaded over here, yeah.
Well, wait, what's a chupacabra?
It's a demon.
It's a reputedly mythical...
But is it true? Like, is that not like a UFO thing? Like, things have disappeared there.
Okay, Nick, explain what a chupacabra is.
Chupacabra was all the rage about 5 years ago, and it's called the goat killer. And a lot of rural Mexican areas, goat herds were found ravaged, and it seems sort of Bigfootish. They created this concept of an animal that there were drawings of, and it was sort of like a hybrid bear wolf, and they called it. The
they served that as the businessman lunch at Nobu
with a little sesame oil. It's delightful.
Okay, so you're saying that this is animal, you're on.
Okay, well, my experience that the chupacabra was like an alien pet that had got left here. That's what I heard. I don't know.
And this is what they're saying in Alabama.
Yeah. They left without their dog.
No, that's what they're saying in L.A.
Now Paris Hilton's going to want one.
instead of the chihuahua. It's easier to spell. It's phonetic.
It's a little hipper.
Mike, what do you think the future is going to hold for us? Are they going to come down, and is it going to be like do-do-do-do-do? Is there going to be a landing? Are there going to be something? Or is this going to continue kind of as it goes now, sort of abstracted and occasional? What do you think?
Well, I think that we've been involved with a process, a very, very long process. I think they had everything to do with the formation of the human race. I really do believe that they came down here in prehistory and basically jump-started the human race.
You think they had anything to do with the pyramids and stuff like that?
Oh, absolutely, I do.
Okay.
I do. And I think where we're headed is that the Earth is in a very difficult time right now. Obviously, the environmental problems are becoming, like, really out of control. I believe, unfortunately, they're going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. And in our lifetime, we're really going to have to be pressed in terms of survival. I believe that they will come down, that they will make contact, but only if enough people, such as hopefully the people who listen to your show, are open to the prospect of making contact. Because, I mean, it's under the best of circumstances, the culture shock is going to be enormous. If they're really exist, and I'm convinced they do.
Okay, but what you're saying is believe in the force and you'll see it, Luke.
Yes.
Believe it and you'll see it, like Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so
what, are they afraid of rejection? They won't come unless we all ask them to?
No, I think we just have to be ready because the effect that it would have on humans.
You think it'll be a positive effect? They're not here to destroy our civilization,
no,
like in the movies?
Not at all. Because if they were, because of their advanced technology, they could have come down any time and done that. I just want to get a word in about Tom Petty, because you were asking me about more current rock stars. Tom Petty had an experience in 2003 in which he and his wife were driving up the Pacific Coast Highway toward Adam Sandler's wedding, and they see a large unknown craft.
It was the ghost of Chris Farley.
surrounded by helicopters, military helicopters.
Certainly.
And he almost plows into, Tom's car almost plows into a bunch of paparazzi who are there to cover the wedding.
I'll bet. I know where Tom buys his pot. Roth Radio, it's a really small world. New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh. Linda wants to know, when the aliens come down, they're going to be very forward-thinking. They're beyond postmodern. These are individuals who are probably light years ahead of us in terms of intelligence and societal development, correct?
At least 100,000 times more.
Okay, well,
I'm on board then.
Instructor Reisman wants to know, but will they let gay women get married on board? I told you, the truth always arrives at the doorstep to the spaceship, tinted by the mixture of moods from the person who brought it. And that's what I'm looking for here, where it says, Tom, alien religion. Number 8, Tom, you're on. Roth Radio, beam
Hi.
In.
David Roth.
Yo.
My name's Tom Solis. How are you doing?
Extraordinary. What are you thinking, Tom?
Well, I'm thinking that I firmly believe that there is intelligent life out there, and for two reasons. If you want to take it religiously in terms of God, then why would God, if there's millions of planets, only have life on one planet, Earth? He would have obviously done other planets and other life forms.
Yeah, but he's God. Maybe he's big on focus.
No, but that's only one point. I'm saying that point for the religious element who might say, well, how could you not put God in the equation? If you look at a purely statistical, for millions and millions of planets, for life to have evolved even on our own without a God helping us, how could there not be other life forms, some not as intelligent than us and some more intelligent than us? So statistically, it's just a fact that there has to be other life forms. And I firmly believe the evidence is here because the pyramids, Stonehenge with the alignment of the stars, that was beyond their technology. The Greece and the Parthenon and all of those architectural elements, how could they have done all of those things in that element?
Don't you think you're underselling man?
And that's my feeling, that there is life. And I would just love to hope that they feel, and I feel that they probably don't approach us now because they don't think we're as civilized.
Because they think we're insensitive.
Right, insensitive and maybe uncivilized. That they would affect us in a negative way.
My whole social life is ruined because of that. We are insensitive, but I'm listening to what Mike has to say because he pitches a pretty good story here. Mike, what do you think? You think that statistically that's the truth. You don't think of this as a religious issue, do you?
I don't see it as a religious issue. There's some people actually who look at the UFO phenomenon as a religious connection.
Scientology.
Elvis is one of those people.
Scientology is this basic premise. Right. You know, they fight to get religious status, and I don't know if they have it for real, and I think they're tax protected. But, you know, their whole premise is that we are all carrying thetan blood, which is what they call sort of a precursor alien race.
Precursor alien thetan blood race was invented by a guy who wrote pulp novels, okay?
Exactly.
That, again, is showbiz.
Indeed.
I'm a total pragmatist, man. If there was life on other planets, don't you think McDonald's would have been there already? Animal, you got a thought. I can see it on your face.
It was about the alien religion. I don't know if y'all remember when this comet came through about 2000 or 2001. And this alien religion group, they said that spaceship was coming for them, and they killed themselves. I don't know what was that.
And all
the Hellbop
was
that, right?
The Hellbop
cult in San Diego. You know, and it was like they found like 35 or 40 people in bags, dead, waiting on their ship and everything. And
hold on, Michael, what do you think of stuff
that
like
was
that?
A Heaven's Gate cult? That's well, there are cults, and there are people who are responsible, on this subject. But that in no way diminishes the fact that there are responsible people and politicians and people like, for example, Ronald Reagan. I don't usually talk about Ronald Reagan
Please
or quote
do.
Ronald Reagan, but he had an experience where he chased a UFO when he was campaigning for governor in his plane, and they chased it for many, for hundreds of miles.
That's fascinating. Have anybody ever heard about that?
No, Dave. I've heard of these things, but don't you think when I pass the Intrepid going up the West Side Highway and I look at that stealth bomber and I see how it looks almost like a spaceship, I can understand why people in different parts of the world, especially down in the deserts where they were testing that, would think that it was a flying saucer. Today, it looks normal. Back then, God knows what it looked like when they were test piloting it.
Today, I look normal. You should have seen me in the 80s. We're going to break for spots right after. Don't go away.
Or stay here and I'll go away.
David Lee.
Talking extraterrestrial, Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. We're sitting here while we're hovering with Michael Luckman. He's the author of Alien Rock. There he goes. Actually, that's just the guitar player. Knock it off, white boy. We're here at the Rock and Roll Extraterrestrial Connection. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, David.
Okay. Now, I have a question here because we always talk. We don't talk about it. We see the movies where individuals are walking around in the streets and they're depicted as being emissaries from extraterrestrial resources, or that they are, in fact, aliens themselves, or that they have been like Men in Black, that they've been invaded by aliens or whatnot. Again, I'm just coming from pulp novels and television and the movie screen, which serves as, the main source of education in my country. So, glad you got that. Does this happen, to your knowledge? Is there anybody in this room who's potentially an alien? I like the way you looked at her first. Does this happen, to your knowledge? What happens? Let's hear this.
I once walked out on... walked out of my apartment. I'm on the street. I walk not even a block, and I see somebody, a normal-looking guy. I pay no attention to him, except he says, Michael, you've got the software. At that time, I had no interest in computers, didn't know software from hardware. It meant very little to me. But just that, at that very time, I was planning a UFO conference in Manhattan, and it was happening at a computer-oriented place. And I took that as a sign. I don't think it was accident. I never saw this guy in my life.
Okay. And what happened?
Unless he saw me on TV or something.
Did you have the software?
Well, in a sense, we did, because we had the goods. We had information that nobody else had.
So you feel this guy may have been an emissary?
It's possible.
He may have been...
It's possible. I do believe that there are people walking around.
What about Anna Nicole Smith?
No.
The Olsen twins?
No.
Paris Hilton?
No.
Sandra Bernhardt?
No.
You're a little too quick with those answers. Okay.
Remember that guy, the Dan Rather?
What's the frequency?
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Was that apropos of what we're talking about?
You have to ask him.
That's something else. Bunny has an idea, though. Talk to me, Bunny. Area 51. I'm not sure which one that is. What are you pointing to?
I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and he was in the Air Force Academy in Colorado, and he told me that Area 51 is nothing but a misconception, and it's only for aircraft, but there is an actual facility where they keep, I guess, artifacts from aliens, like the movie Independence
Day. And did he take you to that facility?
Yeah, right. It's in Illinois somewhere, but there's this big misconception that people are supposed to think that Area 51 is actually something very alien-ish.
Hold on one second. Michael, you want to speak to that?
Area 51, it has been put in the movies and stuff, so a lot of people have the wrong idea. Although, there are some amazing things that are happening. If they are indeed our aircraft, they defy normal physics as we know it. Some of the things that are happening, some of the lights and some of the movements of craft that have been photographed and seen at Area 51.
Recently, or you're talking about...
Continue to be seen at Area 51.
Understood.
In recent years. Barry Goldwater tried to get in. He was an Air Force pilot. He tried to get into... the Blue Room at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Dayton, Ohio, where many of these materials are supposed to have been stored. This is where so-called Hangar 18 is. And he was told by General Curtis LeMay that it was above top secret. Don't ask me again. It's just off.
It's just not. It's just not even a question.
Right.
Huh? Understood, Charlie. Aliens and time. Number 13, magic number. Roth Radio, you're on. Beam in.
Hello.
Go for it.
Hi, Dave.
Yo, go for it.
Yeah, this is, I'm a big fan, Dave. I was listening this morning, and I wanted to comment on something Michener had written. Michener, James Michener, being, you know, a pretty famous writer. He said that there's possibilities of intelligent life in the universe, but the time span that the universe has been around for, you know, for that long.
Certainly.
To have us, who are, you know, maybe intelligent enough for the last 100 years, and have them...
working through this now, aren't you?
No. This is what Michener said.
Go ahead.
This is a quote from Michener. He says that you can't have the two intelligent... societies, whatever, at the same time. The universe is too long. The time it's taken to build the universe is so long that having 100 years here, having the same 100 years somewhere else, and having us contact them is virtually impossible.
Hey, if you think that's a problem, I got a thing here from Sean in Boston. He says, "Dear Dave, love the show. Soon we will have extraterrestrial as a second language, and that'll be a problem." he writes, "Move over, Hispanics. Here comes the aliens." And then we have from Melbourne, Florida. It says, "Will the aliens get the original Van Halen back together? What do you think, Mike?" Not if Sammy Hagar has anything to do with it, right?
Now, I got to tell you something. This might be the key.
Okay.
This could easily be the key. I mean, you're open to the subject. Sammy claims that he's had these experiences. I take him at his word. This would be a wonderful way to have a reunion, to bring everybody back together, perhaps even perform at the Signal Space concerts or at another concert leading up to it, which we could beam music out.
So do aliens, can they grow things? Like, can aliens beam down and grow a plant out of the dirt, or can they create a building or something like that? Do you have any familiarity with that?
No familiarity.
Because maybe, can they grow a prefrontal lobe for Eddie Van Halen? I got to ask, because I'm down for it. I'm willing.
Okay.
If they land, I'm going. Okay? Hell, I go.
Can they make me a B cup?
This is science, baby, not magic. Okay, Pete. Pete, you're on. He's had an alien sighting. Pete, talk to me. David Lee.
Hi, how you doing, Dave? By the way, congratulations on your show.
Thank you so much.
I just wanted to say, you first started off, it was like, but you really picked up.
My whole career is like that. Come on, man. Every good relationship I've ever had with a girl is like that.
Same here.
Yeah, after the 30th day, it's always, I hated you when I first met you.
That's when you know it's love.
No, that's from my mom. Okay.
Oh, I thought you were talking about my mom.
It could be that we share, huh? Okay, the headline reads, "Aliens reunite Van Halen." I've heard weirder coming from their camp. Go ahead, Joe, you're on.
I just wanted to say, I don't know this guy Mike or anything, and I just wanted to say something that happened to me back, it was between October and November of 92.
Oh, you're referring to the judge in Vermont.
Oh!
Maybe he's an alien, but go ahead.
I thought it was a priest.
It has something to do with other worlds. Go ahead. We're with you.
Anyway, and it happened between 12 a.m. and 2 or 4 a.m. It's very, very unclear, but for 10 to 15 seconds, I woke up, and I was in my waterbed on the second floor of my house in Belmore, and I woke up and I was not able to move any part of my body.
Sunday morning.
And no, this is really messed up.
Go ahead.
It looked like a fluorescent light, but not on or off. Like sometimes you see it's like intermittent. Like flashing.
How do we discern between ghosts and extraterrestrials? Because we're familiar with the flashing light encountered, especially spherical light.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Right? So this thing was whipping around the outskirts of my wall, and I felt like I was being scanned, and then all of a sudden, bang, I was out like a light. I woke up the next morning. I was supposed to be at work at 7. I woke up the next morning at 10 o'clock.
And no matter how hard you tried, you couldn't drive 55.
I could not drive 55 with Sammy.
How do you know it wasn't a dream?
Okay, hold on one second here. How do you discern between extraterrestrial and paranormal encounters? Because what he's describing just from the National Geographic Channel sounds like, to me, that's paranormal. That's ghost stuff, right?
There is an overlap, Dave. It definitely is an overlap between paranormal and extraterrestrial UFO. We're dealing with, when we talk about UFOs, we're often dealing with an interdimensional kind of a being or light form or spacecraft. And there are many, many different dimensions. We don't see hardly a small percentage of really what's in space. Most of what's in space between the stars is a lot of black matter. And if you can just extend that in terms of the possibilities for living organisms of various kinds, including intelligent extraterrestrial life.
So you're saying there are parallel universes,
yes,
where others kind of coast alongside of us, and they're supposedly accomplishing things and encountering things and creating tasks, but we never see them and we never even see the result. You're talking about like Tom Gisano, the general manager here, right?
We may occasionally get a glimpse, but we're not, no.
No, we never even get a glimpse.
No.
Mike Luckman, our very close guest, a very good guest, Alien Rock, the Rock and Roll Extraterrestrial Connection. We give you a little bit of a hard time, Mike, but I gotta say, you make a good point here, and I think that you got a whole lot of people listening to Roth Radio across the country now, looking skyward. Look how he's pointing. Michael Luckman, everybody, give him a big hand here. Thank you so much, Roth Radio. Nick Bakay, Robin Bakay, Instructor Reisman, B. Young, it's Animal's House, I might as well admit it. If you had a good time, tell a friend. If you had a creepy time, tell an enemy. We'll be back tomorrow.